Of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God and merciful Father, in holy baptism you declare to us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
I call to God and He hears my voice.
My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me.
Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me.
But
God, you declare your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 8. You shall say to them, "Thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit, they refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming, but my people know not the just decrees of the Lord. How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men shall be put to shame, they shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors, because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among the fallen, and I punish them. They shall be overthrown, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
From your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right.
The epistle is from Romans, chapters 9 and 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it was based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Children within you, and they will not leave you one stone, where they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, It is written, My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes. And the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, and maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The text for today is as recorded in the Gospel lesson of St. Luke, the 19th chapter, especially the following verses. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests and the teachers of the law and leaders of the were among people who were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find a way to do it because all the people were hung on his words. This gospel recording of the words spoken by Jesus Christ is a historical record in speaking of the fall of the Temple of Jerusalem, which has become in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod a time during this 10th Sunday after Trinity to talk about the fall of Jerusalem, and actually in some context, the entire history of the fall of the Church of Jerusalem, or the city of Jerusalem, was proclaimed on this very day every year. We're not going through the history of the church or the city of Jerusalem this year, but Christ our Lord does talk about the coming destruction of that city that would happen in 69 AD. That church, or that fortress of Jerusalem, was built up. And you can still see the Wailing Wall and how big those stones are even this very day. In fact, the general that was in charge of taking down that wall had to kill himself because he didn't do his job by knocking it down. Those walls are still there. But the people of Jerusalem had a false sense of security. They thought that the Romans could not penetrate those walls. And so when they heard in the mid-60 AD that the Romans were coming, they just kind of laughed. They didn't think that any Roman army could come through and defeat that city of Jerusalem. But when they came and merely surrounded the city and then just camped out. And then they waited. Oh, they besieged Jerusalem. They cut off all the avenues of food and clothing and updates that they possibly could. And it did take 4 years, but eventually the people of Jerusalem fell. These same people that Jesus said would be hemmed in on every side, and the priests and the scribes, and that Jesus said would fall, they did fall. And when the Romans entered the city of Jerusalem, what they found was a total nightmare. Nearly 1 million, well over 900,000 people had died inside that city. One of the biggest massacres ever, just by attrition. Over 900,000 people. The grotesqueness of that is beyond what we can preach from the pulpit today. The people that were killed, the people that had turned to cannibalism, the people had turned to eating their own excrement in order to survive. It was a terrible, terrible situation. They thought they were comfort and cozy in their own lives, but the Romans knew better. They thought they were comfy and cozy in their own religion, but Christ knew better, and he wept. Jeremiah speaks in the Old Testament lesson to a point about embarrassment, mostly, that we do not even claim to in this point in time. We don't have that red-faced moment anymore because nothing in this world surprises us anymore. We don't turn from things. This world has learned to turn to itself. It has turned to its own heart to define that which is good and that which is not good. And they have determined that their own heart, not someone else's, is that which is good in the world, and that you should respect that, but that person does not have to respect anything that you would do in this world. Rather, only they should respect it, whoever they might be. Jeremiah said, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there his word, this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. The earthly Jerusalem was neither a place that was holy after the Jesus was incarnate. It became so, and you could see in the Romans and the situation of the people who they put their faith in. Not unlike the people of today who put their faith in themselves. Another prophet walked towards that city. And as the holy city became into view and came over the horizon, the ink that had spilled over Jeremiah's prediction would cause Jesus to weep. Jesus Christ looks at the old Jerusalem and he is saddened by the sins of men. And so he predicts that their punishment will come. Jesus takes no joy or no pleasure in the death of the people who are godless, but only that the godless would turn to him and convert from their evil ways and to live. But even in this scripture, we hear that they would not turn. Jesus would rather gather them to himself, but they would not. It speaks to the theology which comes from the scriptures to us, not from us into the scriptures. God has given us the path, that is Jesus Christ our Lord, but we would turn from him even as he would open his arms to hug us and bring us to himself. We see Christ's tears. He weeps even as he rebukes some of these people, and they keep themselves from being saved. Our Lord is not such a God who delights in the death of anyone. He is not so hardened, and he is not so cold against the sins of unbeliever that he still wouldn't make that offer, that promise to bring them to eternal salvation. But they cannot sit inside that walled fortress and believe in themselves. They believe your belief is grounded in Jesus Christ himself, because that belief, that faith, was given to you by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus predicts that the walls would fall in a bloody massacre of over 900,000 people. Those Romans proved that that city would fall. The lesson for us is we have built fortresses around ourselves just like the residents of that city. We have God's word. We have the law and the prophets, and we have the writings. We have the very word of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ incarnate. And then we have our Bibles, that word written and transcribed for us. It's somewhere in our house. It's got dust on it, or comes out every once in a while when the pastor comes to visit. It's there somewhere. I knew it. I saw it just a few days ago. But just like the so many Jews that rejected God's word and they resisted the Holy Spirit, in so many ways the people of this world also contradict and blaspheme the very word of God. So many people have rejected the word that they think they are unworthy of, or they would not hold it above themselves to believe in that which is something outside of themselves, something which comes to them instead of them thinking it up and personifying it in their own lives. The temporal and eternal punishment fell upon the Jews. They fell away from God's salvation. Jesus Christ was not only lamenting the earthly misfortune of the Jews that would happen around 70 AD. More than that, Jesus saw the punishment that would fall upon them. In spite of his preaching, in spite of his teaching, those who would not repent would have to face the visitation of Jesus Christ one day. For when Christ comes to men, he visits them for grace. But if they do not receive it, He gives them instead punishment. Repent. Be diligent this day and every day to hear God's word. Rather than ape the Jews of Jerusalem by placing our hands on our ears or over our eyes or over our mouths, we must know that God's word is truly the visitation of Jesus Christ for us. He becomes incarnate. He invades our world as a true man, true God. He offers you not your deeds, but his deeds done for you. He offers you the forgiveness of your sins. Here in the true body and blood of Jesus Christ is justification and grace. Therefore, sincerely repent, rejecting your sins and life as worthless to earn salvation. Cling instead and trust in the precious work of Jesus Christ. For without the work of Jesus Christ, you too will slowly be starved inside the fortress of your own body and your own world, this world which has built up a fortress around ourselves and around our society to keep God out of our lives. What terrible agonies are in the future of those who do not believe. We can only pray that all would receive the salvation and grace offered by Jesus Christ, that grace we know would keep us from the fate of eternal damnation, and instead that we would seize on the grace of Jesus Christ in his cross as our only salvation. There is nothing left for us to do. Jesus Christ says it in his own words. Now, though it is hidden from your eyes, that is, the natural man does not receive the things of God. The human heart is most crooked and deceitful, as it was in the time of Noah. Our heart does not sympathize as it should with our neighbor. Too many times we do not see our brother's distress and mourn over the condition as Jesus Christ himself did. Too often we push away ourselves from that sacred word, thinking that we've had enough, that it's been just enough. The sermon should only be 5 minutes, not 10 or 15. I've had enough grace for this week. Let me go home. So over the horizon, the Son of Man comes to you. It is Christ who comes to your hearts, as he did in Jerusalem. He comes in a humble way, even to this day. He comes in his holy word. Though you surround your thoughts by your own works and deeds, these things will all be snatched from you at the end of all time. Jesus Christ will bring you the only work and has done the only work that is needed for your salvation. And if you reject his food, will you still escape death? He sends you himself as manna from heaven. Remember, the people around Moses complained about that too. It wasn't good enough for them. Repent. The siege is over. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is at your very lips and at your very hands, even this very day. Rejoice with the repentance that you have been acknowledged and the confession and absolution which is spoken over you this very day. It is the sword of the Spirit that protects you against the devil, the world, and your evil ways. For the word gives Christ and him crucified. The word sprinkles upon you the blood of his forgiveness and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you are covered with Christ's holy blood, how can Satan or anyone destroy you? When the soul refuses to repent, the devil builds fortifications around him and besieges him with an army of sins to invade the soul until the soul is utterly destroyed. Though a person think that he is safe in the foundation of his own good works, these works will be cast down like the stones of Jerusalem, so that what was thought to be strong and what was strong will have no stone left upon another. But you, dear saved ones, starving inside the fortifications made by your own sin, know that the water combined with God's word is Jesus Christ, and he has come for you. Jesus Christ is no white knight in shining armor. Rather, Jesus has come, and he has visited you with his grace and with his spirit. Jesus has poured out his forgiveness of sins and soothed your soul with the medicine of salvation. You are fed with the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, even at the brink of starvation, with all that Christ has done for you. The blood runs deep from the cross of Calvary. Christ's body was nailed to a tree, but Christ does not remain there. In fact, he is here for you this very day. Though your world, this world, may seem upside down and no stone left unturned, and savaged by sin and those who are around us in adversity and calamity, all is not lost for you. In fact, all is accomplished for you by Jesus Christ. The stone that the builders rejected is the cornerstone of the new heavenly Jerusalem, and this is the holy city in which you will rest eternally, secure in Jesus Christ our Lord. Gracefully in Christ, the battle is won, the victory is won, and God is won for you. Amen. Continue with the prayers. Church. Knowing that this house is to be a house of prayer, let us bring now before God our Father our petitions this day. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many blessings you have graciously poured out upon us. Give us wisdom to use these gifts rightly. Protect us from all greed and selfishness that would turn away any of your gifts into our idols. And grant us faithfulness even in the midst of abundance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless our president, our governor, and all those who make and administer laws. Bless all judges that they make the right decisions with wisdom. Bless those in law enforcement that they might serve and protect their communities in safety of both body and mind. Defend all in our military and give them encouragement to both them and their families. Lord, in your mercy, defend your church throughout the world. Keep our brothers and sisters in Christ who are under the threat of persecution steadfast in the confession of Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Protect your church from the love of money and worldly power, that our focus would always be on the proclamation of your life-giving word, so that many would be brought by the Spirit to faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, support and strengthen those who are sick and are suffering, as we note all the names that are in our bulletin this day and all the names which we mention now in our hearts. We also pray for safe travel for our dear Pastor Tom and his family as they are away from this place, that they may be renewed and refreshed so that they may return and a good vigor to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ again in this place. And for all of us in the midst of affliction, focus us always upon Christ and everlasting hope. And if it is your will, restore us and those for whom we pray to physical health and strength. We with those who you have placed in vocations of care and service, bless them as they use their talents. You have given them to serve their neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, as you have invited and as your Son has taught, we have brought our prayers unto you, Heavenly Father. Receive them not in the basis of our own merit, but in the name of Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, who you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
oh,
King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Welcome to the Lord's table. True blood of Christ, given for you. True blood of Christ, given for you. True blood of Christ, given for you. True blood of Christ, given for you.
True body of Christ given for you.
Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
This is Gloria.